that's the power of compassion. It has the mental, physical, and emotional ability to heal us on every single level, not only for the recipient, for the giver as well. You want to feel better right now? Go volunteer at a soup kitchen. Go volunteer at an animal shelter. Go volunteer and be a tutor for kids. Give. Give of yourself.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here today. I've got my cup of tea here. You know, it's so funny. I hadn't been doing that for a while, and I'd have guests come on, and your lovely community, you guys would say, hey, where's the tea? So I've got tea, and today it's chai tea with oat milk. I didn't homemade the oat milk though, but it's pretty high quality. You know, usually I do the homemade almond milk, but didn't have time. I've just been super busy, and I think that's awesome. I'm just, guys, I'm writing on Medium now. So check it out, Sharon Saylor, S-A-Y-L-E-R, on Medium. I just put up a Q&A transcript of a fabulous show we did with Sarah Payton a few months ago on the transformative power of disgust. So check it out, because, you know, maybe you heard the show. I hope you heard the show. I know Sarah's one of our highest rated guests. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, go listen to it over at Understanding Autoimmune. And then check it out on Medium, because Sarah and I got together and took out about three of the most powerful Q&As in that show and put it up on Medium. So check it out over there as well. So tonight I have a fabulous guest. In fact, this is a person I saw on Dave Dashinger and Tamara Green's show. And I don't know, you guys might remember, they've been on the show a few times too. And I said, I've got to have Lee guys. So they introduced me to Lee, and his name is Lee Tomlinson. And he's also known as Patient Lee. You might remember him from the TEDx that he did in a hospital gown. And I know you probably were all thinking that same question. Is that like a kilt, Lee? So we might ask that question too. So let me give his bio here and then we'll get him on. And Lee's new life mission is to inspire healthcare professionals to return to compassionate care in its rightful place as a forefront of modern healthcare to benefit patients, their family, the bottom line, and perhaps most importantly, their often suffering burned out selves. And oh my goodness, we're going to go more and more into Lee's bio, which is amazing. He's talked on more than 200 stages wearing nothing but this hospital gown. So I have to give him high marks for courage as well. But welcome to the show, Lee. So happy to have you here.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. And given my medical history, it's a pleasure to be anywhere. So thank you for having me.
Yes, I was reading your book, Compassionate Healing, and I forget what chapter, it was an early chapter in there, where you talk about being addicted to adrenaline and go through this whole list of things that not only drove your family crazy, but it sounds like it drove your medical team crazy too.
Well, I have put an enormous amount of medical professionals, kids through college, through medical school, through and paid their bills. So they're actually very grateful. You know, seeing me so often in the ER and hospital around the world, I became so familiar that they had already on file had a permission to do whatever was necessary before I was 18.
So, oh, my.
Literally. So yeah, adrenaline has been a wonderful, wonderful thing. However, it has ended me up in hospitals in 6 different countries and broken a dozen bones, some as many as three times, thumbs pulled off, infections, diseases. And then there's this cancer thing. So we'll talk about that today. It has been a wonderful life. I'm glad to still be alive, but I've learned a lot.
Oh my gosh, yes. And you know, when I was reading the book, I know it was written before the pandemic. So a lot of it was resonating very true, but then I felt a heightened urgency on the topic, given the pandemic and the extreme stress our medical professionals are under now, as well as I'll say just a general extreme stress and anxiety society is under right now. So What drove your, go back into your history a little bit, and what drove this insight, this passion now to help people understand what is compassion really?
Well, I have to be honest with you. I hadn't spent a whole lot of time thinking about it until on June 23rd at 10:28 a.m. I went into my ENT to feed that adrenaline addiction. I'm addicted to golf as well. And I had qualified for the California State Senior Amateur Championships up in Pebble Beach, but my allergies were killing me. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't see. And so I went in to figure out, okay, what allergy is it this time? And so I take allergy medicines every day so that I could play. And I walked out 3 hours later with a diagnosis of stage 3, stage 4 throat cancer. Now, I'd never smoked, never drank. Okay, I lived in San Francisco in the 70s and 80s. So maybe I smoked a little, but it was never tobacco and I never inhaled. But other than that, there was no reason why in the world I would have throat cancer, which radically changed my life. Within 2 days, I started treatment, chemo and radiation. I had 3 months of chemo and 35 straight days of atomic blast to the base of my tongue. They had suggested that I have surgery first to remove the tumor, but there was a little kind of problem with that, which is if they did that, depending on how the tumor had grown, they may have to remove my tongue, which for a producer and studio owner in Hollywood, if you can't talk, life's pretty much over. So I said, guys, that ain't gonna work. We can't do that. My life's already over if that happens. So anyway, so I underwent this treatment, which was grueling to say the least. Now I think I'm a pretty tough guy with all those hospitalizations, but cancer kicked my butt, knocked me down, spit on me, humiliated me, made me cry with regularity. It was all of the injuries and illnesses I had had in my lifetime times 1,000 in terms of pain and suffering, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, romantic, you name it. You know, my whole life was semi-destroyed by it. And then I got hospitalized at the very end when I'm just barely surviving, with an unidentifiable septic infection at the site of my port, you know, which is where they were giving me the nutrition that I needed just to survive, because I couldn't eat, I couldn't swallow, because my throat was so swollen. So while I was in that hospital, with all of that stuff, you know, crashing around me, my life in an absolute mess, didn't know if I'd survive, didn't know if I could work, didn't know if I could speak, financially is running up huge. I mean, my life was just a mess. And if there ever was a time when I could have used some simple human kindness, it was there. Call it compassion, call it kindness, call it whatever you want. And I got zero. I got the polar opposite. These were the meanest, most insensitive, unkind, unresponsive, rude humans I had ever met. They treated me like I was literally a piece of trash. Wow. You know, I was an object. And given where I was at with my life and my health, it crushed me. I had spent all of my life in hospitals like that, treated not like royalty, but like a living, breathing human being with kindness and caring and compassion. And then all of a sudden this, and it literally, I decided, that's it, I'm done. This life is over. I'm getting out of here. And I decided I would put enough fentanyl patches. You know, I was using those, very powerful painkiller, to try and numb the pain. If I put enough of mine, I could go to sleep, not wake up, and leave my family with a gigantic key man life insurance policy payout. They can live like kings and queens. That's what I decided to do. Until the next day when I got out of the hospital and a very famous doctor friend came to visit to see how I was doing. And I needed to ask him how many patches to put on so that I could not have it look like suicide and the payout would happen. And it was very painful for me to speak, but I managed to croak it out. And then I took a breath and he stopped and he sat down, put his hand on my arm and said, Lee, I want to apologize on behalf of healthcare for this horrible experience you've had here in this hospital. He said, it is deplorable, it's inexcusable, and I am so deeply, deeply sorry. Now, he didn't have anything to do with it, and he was apologizing for healthcare. And that got my attention. And he said, and you know, it's getting worse. What you didn't get here was compassion. Now, I'd heard that word, but you know, I was raised, you know, treat people like you'd like to be treated, which is kind of the definition of compassion, but I never called it that. So I'd never spent much time on the actual word. And he said, you know, it's disappearing in healthcare. He said, how about this? How about you fight? And if you survive, how about you spend the rest of your life trying to reverse that trend of disappearing compassion in healthcare and see if you can't become part of the solution rather than a statistic of suicide. And in that moment, his kindness and love for me and his willingness to apologize for healthcare and mention the word compassion is why I turned around, did not take my life, and began to study the subject of compassion, which he said was rapidly disappearing from healthcare. And he's right. And that's how I really began this mission and the Compassion Heals movement to return the absolutely essential, enormous, scientifically proven healing benefits of simple human kindness and compassion in healthcare and everywhere else to modern medicine. So long story, but that's how it happened. And I'm thrilled to be alive, and I'm thrilled to be able to address healthcare professionals and others about that healing power to remind them why they got into healthcare in the beginning, which was to treat, cure, and comfort patients when they're in pain.
Wow. What an amazing story, and so timely for right now as well. A couple of things I want to sort of bookmark here is, first off, your story with the doctor apologizing reminded me of Dr. Shawn Duperron's Project Forgive. And she has this marvelous, we have her nonprofit commercials on the show, and she has this marvelous technique, I guess I'll call it, of the apology you'll never, receiving the apology you'll never get. And it's how it comes through someone else. And how powerful, equally powerful, that type of apology can be, even if it's not from the perpetrator themselves. And I just wanted to acknowledge for people to understand the power of receiving an apology, even from the non-perpetrator. It's pretty amazing when someone can stand in for that hurt and be able to empathize and show compassion. So I want to just give a little shout out for that, because that was, to me, what a major turning point. But I also wanted to talk about how we do show compassion. I think it's not just, I want to make sure that it doesn't sound like we're bashing just healthcare right now, because I feel it, maybe that's just a symptom in my mind. I find there's a lack of compassion, not just in healthcare, but I'll say in society in general. So to me, it's just a symptom. And especially now where healthcare is being just overrun right now. And I can understand how burnout is happening and frustration and things like that. Let's talk a little bit in the ways that you have found that similar to what I was talking about, the apology you'll never receive. Have you found things that you can give people as ways to show compassion? Because sometimes maybe they are feeling it, but then all of a sudden they're stopping because they don't know what to do. Like, is that too intrusive or is that too, you know, in their face or whatever? So what are some tips that you found during your journey that people go, wow, that really worked?
Well, first of all, let me just preface that and go back to a comment you made a moment ago. And that is that as I began to study healthcare and this rapidly disappearing presence of compassion, that's when I learned that on a good day in a good year, 60% of healthcare professionals burn out.
Wow.
60% pre-COVID. Now think about that. And aside from mental, physical, and emotional disastrous pain, when you're burned out, you become emotionally numb, which means you are incapable of giving compassion. You have to be empathetic. I have to be able to feel your pain in order to act on it to help remove it. And so once I realized that, instead of wanting those people thrown out of medicine who had treated me so poorly in that hospital, I realized that their lack of compassion in my interactions with them was caused by the fact that they, by their natures, they give and they give and they give and they give until they're burned out and they don't take care of their own needs. They don't treat themselves with compassion to stay healthy enough to be able to treat us with it. It's not because they're not compassionate. It's because they've numbed themselves because they haven't cared for their own mental, physical, and emotional health enough to be able to. So that's a very important point. So I forgave everybody in that hospital because now I could see their pain and I wanted to do something to help relieve it, which is exactly what my purpose is with the Compassion Heals movement. So when I speak to, so what is compassion? You know, it's interesting. In my talks, in my keynotes, one of the first things I ask my audience is, okay, so how many of you think on a scale of 1 to 10 that compassion in terms of importance, 10 being vitally, that it's closer to a 10 than say a 5 or 6. Well, everybody raises their hand. Yes, of course, yes, it's vital, it's important. Good. All right, now define it for me. Now, I've done this with 5,000 people in the, and it's like, you said it's vitally important. How can you do it if you can't define it?
For me, the first thing that came to my mind is that old saying is, you know, walking in someone else's shoes. What would you want if you were in their position is the first thing that came to me. And
well,
then
that's part of
your
it.
Best to give that.
Yeah, that's empathy. And that's what people, well, you know, it's like, I really feel your pain. Well, and empathy is a wonderful thing. At least the patient or the person in pain knows they're not alone. But in order to transform that into compassion, you have to take action to help relieve that pain. That's compassion. I feel your pain and I'm driven to do what I can do to relieve it. That's why 99% of people get into healthcare is they're just driven by that. I can't stand the fact that you're in pain. What can I do to help? So that's really what compassion is. Now, burnout in healthcare is even higher now. It's much, much, much higher than 60%. So you've got a lot of people who are deeply, deeply suffering. And part of my message is you guys got to take time for yourself. You have to, or you're killing us because you're going to numb yourself with burnout. And that's not who you are. So compassion really is part of our human nature. We are genetically designed for connection. If you take a newly born baby. And for whatever reason, I'm suggesting, but times when this has happened, and that baby does not get human touch on a regular basis, it will, despite the fact that people may be around it and you know, feeding it and whatever. But if it doesn't get regular touch, it literally will die. So
wow.
It has never been in history survival of the strongest. I don't care how strong you were. If you were standing around by yourself in prehistoric times and a Tyrannosaurus Rex saw you, you could be the strongest guy in the universe and it was going to eat you. So what really helped us survive was somebody walking up to a group of, you know, with his wife and kids and friends and to another group of cavemen going, I don't know if you noticed, but we just had a Tyrannosaurus eat one of our people. And we saw that same thing happen to you. How about this? How about you go to sleep and we'll look after you. And then when we go to sleep, you'll look after us. That's how mankind survived to this day. And it is in our genes. We absolutely have to have connection to survive. And why is everybody so crazy right now? And I would say in my lifetime, there's never been a time when people are so
hyped up
out of their minds.
I don't know what the word is either.
Wacky.
I was making that connection too, Lily. Okay, we're talking about compassion and healthcare, but if we'd had this conversation 2 years ago, it would be entirely different than the one we're having now.
No question.
And that's what's so startling to me as we're having this conversation, because I'm thinking just the lack of human touch, the number of people that live alone that got connection, I'll say, even through work or other things.
Or going on the bus, goodness. Or going to the park, or going to the store. Or, you know, and now you had to stay at home, and then you have to put on a mask. And so all of those things disconnect us from our normal, compassionate nature. And when that happens, it literally makes us crazy. So you see people trying to connect in very violent and hurtful ways because they're so damaged by a lack of connection with other human beings. And so now, rather than just being people who are truly damaged, these are normal people who, through separation, have become mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually challenged and burned out and needing human connection to be healthy and survive. So mm-hmm. Compassion has never in my lifetime been more vitally important than right now to bring us together as a people. There are issues facing this world, famine, changing weather, a pandemic that's killed 8.5 million people, financial issues because of the shift. I don't know if we've ever faced as many challenges as we have right now. And to be, you know, in that jungle alone with those Tyrannosauruses is life-threatening, literally. So at least in my lifetime, there has never been a time when we need to return to our most human nature, being compassionate, feeling the pain of others, and wanting to do what we can do to relieve it, than right here, right now. And I believe that the survival of the species of human beings depends on it.
Wow. We need to take a quick commercial break. We'll leave it with that thought-provoking moment. Thank you, Lee. Bye. What a wake-up call. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenil.com. That's P-I-N-K-Y chenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach, and my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm here with Lee Tomlinson. He's also known as Patient Lee, and he has a wonderful book called Compassion Heals. And we've been talking about compassion. And one of the surprising things to me, I mean, I think I knew it somewhere in here, but how much more important compassion is right now than ever before for the whole world, not just for healthcare, which his book is mainly about his trauma and his healing through compassion from cancer, as well as his adrenaline rush days. So now, Lee, a couple of the things that struck me about this were, now, when I think about compassion and not all the way to burnout, I'm just thinking about compassion. Oftentimes, when I do something for someone, I feel more compassionate and then I continue to do it. So it's self-fulfilling. It's like on a roll. But we're talking here where you had noticed in your healing process from cancer that it had gone to burnout. And one of the things that you had mentioned that you suspected was that a lack of self-compassion or a lack of self-care. I'd like to explore that because I think right now there are a lot of people living alone or isolated in very small groups. It's changed a little bit lately, but a lot of time where people were crying, they couldn't even hug their grandkids.
Yes.
That's left a lot of scars. So let's talk a little bit about what is self-compassion so we don't get all the way to burnout.
We learned this as a kid. You've got to eat right. You've got to sleep right. You've got to exercise. You've got to intellectually stimulate yourself. You've got to entertain yourself. You've got to have fun. You've got to have love where you can find it and look for it in different places. You may not be able to or want to fly somewhere to see kids and family. You know, it may not be wise for you. So you've got to find other ways. You said it very clearly. Since we are driven by our natures, if we're in touch with who we really are as human beings and there aren't painful barriers in front of it, if you put people people find themselves unexpectedly in a situation where someone is in terrible pain, they almost immediately and almost always jump up and try and do something, even at the risk of their own lives. So it is in our nature. And what we need to do, the cool thing about compassion, again, everything that I say is scientifically proven. None of this is opinion. Literally scientifically proven. And that is that one of the best ways to heal your own pain is to be compassionate to others. To be compassionate, not to give and give and give out of some, you know, need to prove yourself to be good, but rather simple, kind acts do 2 things. One is they empower the immune system. They help improve the health and well-being of the receiver. Who hasn't been the recipient of a kind act that didn't walk away thinking, Yeah, that was really cool. I had a problem with the car the other night, and I had my blinkers on, and a woman drove past me on the other side, made a U-turn, came back around, parked behind me and said, I saw you stuck here, and I had to see if I, it was the middle of the night. It was a woman. I mean, she didn't know who I was. And I was like, I feel seen. I feel heard. I feel appreciated. I mean, I got goosebumps thinking about how out of her way she went to help me. Now, what's cool is scientifically, she felt the same exact way. Giving to people and helping relieve their pain gives you all the mental, physical, and emotional benefits of the receiver. And if we want to make the world a better place, every kind act has been proven. When you give a kind act, it has a high percentage of profitability that person who got it will give it to somebody else, who will then give it to, and it'll be passed along and along. So it has this.
It's funny that you say that, Lee, because I was thinking it hadn't happened to me in a long time, but I got tea at a coffee shop the other day at my favorite tea place. And somebody did that pay it forward thing again.
Yeah.
And I did it too. I mean, because it was totally unexpected. Somebody said, oh, you know, we know your order. It's paid for. I'm like, wow. Okay. Well, here's a 10, pay for theirs behind me, you know?
Yeah.
It made me feel really good. And this is not like the woman who, you know, got you out of a really tough situation. This was a 30-second thing.
It doesn't even have to be that. When literally one of the things that we do is we have what we call is the Compassion Heals Challenge. And what it is, it's incredibly simple. You agree, you go to my website, leetomlinson.com. Clever, right? leetomlinson.com. And sign up for the challenge. And what it asks you to do is you commit for 7 days to do one kind act a day for 7 straight days. That's it. And it can be as simple as opening the door for somebody who's got a bunch of packages, letting someone cut in front of you without beeping your horn and flipping them the bird. It can be it can be anything. It can be buying somebody behind you a coffee. Those, I promise you, how long ago was that experience you had where somebody bought you coffee?
Last weekend. So almost a week.
So it's been weeks since that happened. And now you've told millions of us. You see what I'm saying? It's real. It works. Yeah. And it's true. So, and here's the other thing. If you're in a situation where you're in deep pain, which many people, you know, because I speak largely, not only to healthcare people, is I say, look, if you're in need of love and kindness and caring and compassion, make those 7 days of kind acts for yourself. Give them to you. Most people, it's harder to give it to themselves than it is to give it to others. So if you're in need of a little love and you want a pet, go get a pedicure. Treat yourself to that pastrami and cheese sandwich. Whatever it is, give yourself the gift of compassion and kindness, and it will help heal your pain because you're worth it.
I want to give a little shout out to moms here, Lee, because I am like, yes, 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 shouting behind the scenes here. I want to give a little shout out to moms who, you know, please let yourself have that nice bubble bath alone with music, lock the bathroom door.
Yes.
Those sorts of things. Too many times I find that moms, especially now, so the childcare seems to be falling even more disproportionately on women and moms.
Yes. As it always does.
But you know, I'm noticing they're giving up a lot of their self-care. And please, please find ways that you can allow yourself moments of time to enjoy something that you enjoy.
Yes, because you deserve it. Because Absolutely. Not because you've earned it, But as a human being, you deserve it. And it's not just mothers, but it's teachers. It's mothers, it's healthcare professionals. It's anybody in any service position. In order for you to be of service, you got to take care of yourself.
I know there's dads in there too that are out there in the trenches or even in childcare trenches all the time. So be sure and do those little gifts for yourself, because those are the gifts
Again, this is not a, I'm sort of cheating myself out of revenue here, but if you go to my website and take the challenge, and we'll, you know, be with you every day and we'll remind you and send you inspiration and all that stuff. But if you do it and complete it, at the end of it, we will give you a free digital copy of Compassion Heals from Self-Care to Healthcare, simply for taking the challenge, simply for loving yourself or others. We'll give you a copy of the book so you don't have to buy it.
Oh, it's a wonderful book too, you know, and I say this about particular books, and it's a compliment. Sometimes people get a little like they don't. I found it a very quick and easy read, and that's the kind I like the best. The ones where I can sit down and give myself some private time. I enjoy reading.
Well, and it was meant to be that. This was not meant to be a Bible. You know, this was meant to be something to uplift and inspire you to do one thing: be more compassionate with yourself and with others, period, end of story. So, you know, there isn't enough legislation, there isn't enough money, there isn't enough housing, there isn't enough, unless we have compassion, this country and the world will never heal. So we have to look to the better part of ourselves that we are genetically designed for and express that compassion to others and to ourselves, and it becomes a back and forth. So it's too simple. No, it's not. It is simple. It's just not easy.
No.
I didn't say it was easy.
Exactly.
But if I throw you into a situation, you know, take any prejudice you have. If I throw you into a situation where someone is in dire straits, danger, immediate, you're not going to think about, oh, I'm not sure if I want to help this kind of person. I'm not sure if I want to help that kind of sex. I'm not sure if I, you're going to jump up and you're going to help them because that's who you are. So now that you know that, begin to express it more intentionally rather than simply reactively, and be a power for change. Be the loving, kind human being you're designed to be. And I tell you, will you heal everybody in the world? Maybe not this time around, maybe not this lifetime, but you will heal many and yourself when you do.
Thank you, Lee, so much. We're at our second commercial break. Let's take it here and think about that, about healing ourselves as well as one to many. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free.
You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Oh my goodness. You know, one of these days we should listen into our little chats behind the commercial breaks, everyone. Maybe one of these days we might share some of them. We just have so much fun behind the scenes as well. And I'm talking now to Lee Tomlinson, whose life mission is to help bring compassion back to healthcare professionals. And I'm going to say now, since the pandemic, to the world. And he's finding his mission at first wasn't remotely easy, but now he's made so much impact with his book, Compassion Heals, as in his Compassion Heals movement, as well as he's well known for his TED talk that he did in the patient gown. So now, Lee, one of the few of the things we've been chatting about is compassion, what it is and how it works. And one of the things I'm curious about in your book, you talk about this idea of self-reflection and the things that we do afterwards, how we can make meaning of something, right? And how that can help us heal our own selves. Let's talk a little bit about this idea. I think in your book and your understanding of compassion, if I can go so far, did that help make meaning to your cancer?
Oh, great question, incidentally. And honestly, I don't recall ever being asked that. The answer is, while I was being treated and in complete and total misery, you know, my career was disappearing. I hadn't worked. I was running up huge bills. I was in terrible pain. I didn't know if I'd survive, let alone prosper again. You know, I'm kind of a jerk when I'm in terrible pain. So I was really mean to my beautiful wife, not intentionally, just out of pain and suffering, no excuse. So everything was up in the air. How do I say it? You know, they always say, you know, when one door closes, another door opens. Like, that's supposed to make me feel better, right? Yeah. I heard that 100 times. By the 100th time, I wanted to smack somebody in the nose. But finally, somebody said to me, you know, Lee, when one door closes, another door opens. And I was like this. I was going to smack them. And he said, but, you know, the problem is, most people are so focused on the doors that close, they never notice the doors that are opening.
Oh, my chills. Oh, let's
and
put that.
It
thank
was
you.
Like, boy.
Yes.
And so I started doing, now you understand, I was just out of treatment. I was just out of suicidal ideations. I was in therapy and in physical, mental, doors that are opening. Are you kidding me? And then I started to look. I said, first of all, I'm alive. I'm alive. By the end of my treatment, I was no evidence of disease. Now, that may not last a week, a month, a year. But right here, right now, I'm alive. I get to experience my wife. I get to experience my family, my friends, and I'm not dead. Secondly is, I have a mission, I have a purpose. And as I began to study it and begin to have the privilege of speaking and interacting with healthcare professionals who have saved my life more times than I can count, to thank them for that and help them heal so they can be even better at what they're doing for me and others, was a privilege beyond imagination. It got me to travel around the world, interacting with hundreds and hundreds of events with hundreds of thousands of healthcare workers. And to know that, as one said to me the other day, and I say this with all humility, Lee, thank you. You are a true healer's healer.
Hmm.
Whoa, I never in my life, making television shows, owning studios, opening China to trade, being a world-class athlete, none of them compared to that blessing to interact in compassionate conversations with hundreds of thousands of people and to know that I was able to have a positive impact on their life, which then would have a positive impact on their patients and colleagues' lives, which would then blossom out into the world. So what I began to do really was to look at how is my life better after cancer? And the list, every day I would write it down. What am I grateful for? I'm grateful for right now. It's an extraordinarily beautiful day right outside my window, looking up into the mountains in Palm Springs, California. It's going to be 80 degrees today. Perfect golf weather, I might say. And I'm having a former colleague that I worked with 20 years ago is in town to visit me. And we're going to work on, you know, a number of different things together. I get to interact with her again. That would never have happened if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now. I would never have lived in Palm Springs. I would never have had this conversation with you. I would never be working on a documentary series on the heart, science, and business of compassion, which has the ability to have a positive impact globally. I mean, those are all, my life is so enriched. Do I recommend cancer as a way to get in touch with gratitude? No, it sucks. Don't do it. There are easier ways, but I needed a good whack in the head to realize that my life purpose is exactly what I'm doing right now, which is to spread the power of compassion to help heal you, me, and the world. Mm. And that is a blessing beyond words. So I'm a lucky guy to be alive, and I'm infinitely more lucky to have seen the door open that allows me to do exactly what I'm doing in my life right here, right now.
Oh, beautifully. Chills, chills. And we were talking to through the commercial break, we share a common thing, and that's what I'll say, curiosity. And I mentioned in a Medium article recently that it's my superpower and my Achilles heel. And I thought we shared that, but we also share this about making meaning, because at the height of my diagnosis, 6 months in, I'm still shedding skin and lost 60% of my skin at the end that the disease stopped progressing and started to heal. So 6 months in, luckily I wasn't doing video then because it wasn't pretty, but I started the Autoimmune Hour. And like you, I just get so thrilled when I get a little note from someone who said, thank you. I didn't know this was possible, yes. Or I yes. didn't know that was possible. Or, you know, you helped me save my friend, or you helped me, whatever. I just get chills when I hear that. And I think a powerful thing that us human beings do is make meaning. And I love the idea about the open door is making meaning in the positive way. Cause too often nowadays I keep hearing making meaning in, I'll say, less than positive ways.
Yes, yes, in violent, virulent, hateful ways, you know, and hurt people. Those people are in terrible pain. Doesn't excuse it, but they're in terrible pain. There are so many stories of horrible criminals, murderers, being transformed, literally, into wonderful, giving, kind, caring human beings by a simple, kind act. With the most horrible people you've ever met. That's the power of compassion. It has the mental, physical, and emotional ability to heal us on every single level, not only for the recipient, but as I said before, for the giver as well. You want to feel better right now? Go volunteer at a soup kitchen. Go volunteer at an animal shelter. Go volunteer and be a tutor for kids. Give of yourself.
And I love the idea, Lee, about give, but something just flashed through my mind. And in the last, we have 8 minutes left, but in the last, just in the next couple of minutes, I'm going to discuss this. Where have you ever been around situations where someone comes in, and I'm going to put in air quotes, sort of that they're giving from that place of know-it-all. And to me, that's not compassion.
It's not giving.
Somehow they think they're giving, but Me, I just want to smack them. I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
That's not giving. So let's talk about that place of where we come from, because it's not about going and being the know-it-all and I know better.
Never. No. That is the antithesis of giving. That's taking. That's manipulating people to feel like you're in control. Nobody has all the answers. And what's right for you, highly unlikely to be right for me, because we're different. And so that kind of interaction of know-it-alls is incredibly hurtful, because as soon as someone devalues your actions, your opinion, devalues, not discusses, but devalues you and your opinions and your actions, that's incredibly hurtful. What's the value of that? They may say, well, I'm trying to help them. You're not. You're trying to manipulate them and push them in certain directions that you think are best. That would anybody have ever said to me, Lee, go ahead and get cancer. It's going to change your life for the better. What? I mean, that's ridiculous, but it did. So we've got to follow our own paths. You can offer suggestions if you're given permission. May I give you a suggestion? And they'll take it or they won't. That's up to them. It's not your job to make people do things.
Yes, absolutely. Let me put a little asterisk on that, though, because I want to say permission's not in perpetuity, guys. Okay. I don't know if you have friends there that keep offering things and you're like, that permission wasn't in perpetuity.
Yes, it's true. I mean, look, it has to be driven by simple human desire. I'd like to help. How can I do it? Ask the question. If you want to help somebody, and here's the deal, there's no obligation to take it. If I try to open the door for you and you tell me, no, I got it. Okay, that's cool. You know, I just was trying to help, and that happens. So what? Remember, it's not for the thank you that you give kindness and caring. It's for the simple desire to help. Whether they take it or not, up to them. But you gave it, and you can feel good about yourself for having given that gift. Whether it's appreciated or not, you give a Christmas gift. The point is you gave the gift. The fact that they exchange it for something else, who cares? It was the gesture, not the action.
I love that. Now we have just down to 5 minutes. I want everyone to know. Yes, we are. We'll have to have you back. Let's talk about some final thoughts that you would love to share, plus where to get the book and remind everybody about the challenge. Okay.
Oh, good. Well, all right. So very quickly, 5 minutes. That's a short time for me. So let me encourage your listeners, for your sake, for your people that you interact with on a daily basis, for the world's sake, go to my website. Very clever. You ready? LeeTomlinson.com. 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 Right there on the first page, you'll see the Compassion Heals Challenge. All you got to do is sign up and agree. For 7 days, one a day, you'll do a kind act for someone else or for yourself if you need it, or a combination of the two. It doesn't matter. 7 kind acts, yourself or others. At the end of that, we will give you a free digital version of my book. So you'll save yourself $15. If you want to pay for it and you want a hard copy of it, go to Amazon.com. And obviously it's for sale there as well. That's the easiest place to get it. So that's how you get a copy of the book and put some kind acts into the world. Again, yourself or others, Lee Tomlinson. We're not going to sell your information. We're not going to bombard you with anything. We just want to put more kindness into the world and have that begin to ripple out and impact others and yourself.
And just one quick final thought.
Oh, me? I thought you were going to say it.
I have mine in a minute.
Okay, here we go. So if you want to make somebody happy, be kind. If you want to be happy, be kind. That's it.
I love it. I love it. Just letting that soak in, everyone. Oh my goodness, everyone. Thank you so much, Lee Tomlinson. I'll have to double thank Dave Dashinger and Tamara Green from Loving Meditations for sharing your name. It's been an awesome journey with you this hour on the Autoimmune Hour. Everyone, oh my goodness, there's so many wonderful things that I'm taking away from this. I hope you are too. Please share them with us over on Facebook and in social media. It's at Understanding Autoimmune. Happy to chat with you there, as well as the website. You'll be able to find this as well as all of the other, I think, Lee, we're at 351 episodes tonight, so you'll be able to find Lee's there shortly, and I think he's number 351 or wow, darn close to it.
That's impressive, madam. That's something. 350, wow.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And I'm loving every minute of it. The community continues to grow. The Courage Club continues to grow. And I am loving every minute of it. And that's how I make meaning out of my diagnosis as well. So everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join me next week for another brand new episode. And please, over at Understanding Autoimmune, if you have a great idea for a guest like Tamara and Dave did, please share it there. You'll find it, be a guest right there in the upper nav, and share their names with me, because I'm always looking for great guests just like Lee Tomlinson here. I'll have the spelling of his name on the website as well. So have a great week, whatever your adventures. See you next week. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.